Well, when someone we love dies, we can feel very alone. The experience of loss can seem very cruel. If the loss is a sudden one, it can feel as if someone we love has been torn away from us. When their death has followed illness and suffering, that can be a painful experience. And it's not unusual in such circumstances to question whether there is a God or if he is indeed loving. In times of loss, all our thoughts and feelings can be rather mixed up. The first reading we have in our service is from Lamentations. It's a book in the Bible in which the writer is burdened by the suffering that surrounds him. These verses, however, are words of hope and faith. God is faithful, and his mercies come to us new every morning. Day by day, as we reach out to him and find his sustaining presence. In the reading from Romans later on in our service, Paul has an experience of suffering, tribulations of life, the opposition which Christians can sometimes experience. But none of these things, he says, can separate us from the love of God. That love has been shown in what Christ has done for us. He has died so our sins can be forgiven and we can be justified, brought into a right relationship with God. These people knew sufferings. We know suffering. Let's listen to these words for us.
Hello, everyone. This reading is from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 26 and 31 to 33. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the ones who seek him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. For no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion, so great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The reading is from Romans 8, verse 31 to 39. And if you have a Bible handy at home, do have a look, or something on a laptop or on a phone. It's great to look at these words together. Wonderful words of hope. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus, who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, troubles of any sort can affect us in a number of ways. And one particularly damaging way they affect us is by making us feel cut off, separated from others and from God. This seems to be particularly true of bereavement, the feeling that no one else understands, no one else feels this the same way that I do. we can feel on our own, separated from people, even those we know love us, and separated from God. After all, how could he have done this? Or why? Pain, particularly bereavement pain, can feel like it separates us from others and can feel like it separates us from God. Well, this passage at the end of Romans 8 particularly brings us comfort in this pain. Earlier in chapter 8 of Romans, we hear good news from the gospel message of Jesus. But here is the question. What about when there is pain in my life? What has happened? First of all, we're reminded that God is for us. God is for us. As we read in verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Imagine a big set of scales. We're on one side, everything else on the other. We need our side to be better, to be bigger than the other side, or else we will be lost. Imagine those scales. Well, our Bible passage says, if God is for us, who can be against us? God is the ultimate trump card and cannot be beat. God plus nothing is everything. On the scales, he outweighs all that can come against us. So who can make a difference against you when God is for you? But a fair question might still be, especially when you're feeling low, well, how is God for me? How is God for us? Well, God is for you by giving up his son for you. Verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? God is for you by giving up his son for you. And as he did that, so the logic of this verse goes, as God even gave up his one beloved son, how much more will he give us all that we need? Think about it. Who delivered Jesus to the cross? Well, it was Judas for money. It was Pilate for fear. It was the Jews for envy and a crowd out of ignorance. But supremely, God tells us it was God who gave Jesus up. God out of love for me and for you. God delivered Jesus. The comfort here is received because of what God has already done for you in Jesus. You see, God loves you so much, he did not spare even his own son. Well, God is for you. God is for you by forgiving you, verse 33. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. This picture here from the courtroom. We're in the dock, but who is the prosecutor? Who will bring a charge? People? The devil, our own guilty feelings, especially those feelings around bereavement. If only I'd done this, if only I'd said that, if I hadn't done that. Maybe this has happened because I'm guilty of something. We all get those feelings. But God justifies. He declares us righteous, forgiven, clean, absolved. God forgives. For when we die and face him, yes, and from now, God is for you by forgiving you. And God is for you as Jesus intercedes for you. Verse 34. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. In the courtroom picture, your defending counselor is Jesus. Christ Jesus intercedes for you, makes your case at the right hand of the Father God by saying, I died for them. So who could condemn or separate you from God? The Son himself pleads your case and brings you into the loving presence of your Father God. But let's just pause. The promise of God is for those who will accept it from him, not for people who are living their God-given lives rebelling or ignoring their creator, ruler, God. So how do you know if you've received God's forgiveness and acceptance? Well, it's all been here in this passage. Do you believe God has given up his son for you? that Jesus, God's Son, came into the world as God with us and shows us God himself. That Jesus died in our place, in your place, for your sin, for all the things that separate you from God's and from others. And that Jesus rose again, so that by trusting in him, we can know that he has succeeded in his mission for us. Do you believe that God gave up his Son for you? Do you believe that God forgives you, that you needed Jesus to die for you because you could never be holy yourself? That no matter how hard we try, we fall short in our selfishness and our pride. We turn away from God to other priorities and passions, and we need a rescue. And do you believe that Jesus intercedes for you? If you repent, say sorry, and turn from living your own way, and turn to Jesus as Lord of your life. If you trust, have faith in Jesus as Saviour, providing the rescue that you need, then Jesus perfectly pleads your case in his sacrificial death for you, and you are truly a loved child in Father God's family. Do you turn and trust in Jesus as Lord and Saviour? Then know your God as your loving Father. He is for you. Well, what will this mean? Let's look briefly at these last few verses together. Nothing can separate us from him. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Notice these troubles are not taken away, but they do not separate us from the love of God. The troubles, the word literally means the sort of feeling like being squeezed as if something's trying to juice you. That troubles will not separate us. You see, nothing can separate us from God's love. Sufferings, however, are to be expected. When sufferings are unexpected, they can have a greater impact. They can unsettle us more. But earlier in this chapter of Romans, and again in the Bible, the experience of the believer is that of persevering through suffering, not avoiding it. Jesus himself had to persevere through suffering. And a world in rebellion against its creator should expect suffering and tragedy until God comes again to make all things new. But you, as you follow Jesus, even as you might suffer, you're not outside God's purposes and you're not beyond his control. Suffering can feel very personal, can't it? Am I the only one in the world to experience this alone? Why me? But the love of Christ pursues you and keeps you. He is with you, loving you, suffering with you, weeping with you. And nothing can separate us from God's love. We are more than conquerors. Did you see that? Verse 37. No, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. You see, we don't just muddle through. We don't grit our teeth and get there. We're not like those who might have had to fight their way through an enemy horde in order to finally get to the king's palace, bruised and broken and bloody. No, we are now living in the presence of the king. We're more than conquerors because we're his beloved children. Nothing can separate us from God's love. So be sure, my friends. God is for us. Nothing can separate us. We are more than conquerors. Well, how does that make you feel now? And what about later? What about whenever life throws the next thing at you? You need to preach to yourself. I was told as a boy that one of the first signs of madness is talking to yourself. But actually, we need to talk to ourselves. We need to remind ourselves, God is for me. Nothing can separate me from his love. Talk to yourself. Remind yourself. When you're sad or in pain, when feeling separated and lonely, God is for you. Nothing can separate you from his love. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God
that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.